You're listening to the Preacher to Preacher podcast. Beginning this year, we kind of changed how we do things on Sunday nights. And one of the reasons was just after COVID, our Sunday evening service just hadn't bounced back. And so our elders decided to make things a little different. One of the things we're doing is that we are, instead of having a small church service on Sunday evening, sort of a repeat of the morning worship, we're gathering on Sunday afternoons to do several different things. We've maybe going to go sing at a nursing home or assisted living home. We may go and do some service projects for someone in our community who's shut in or needy, maybe one of our members. We're going to use some of these Sunday evenings for visiting. We're going to do them for several different things. And the idea is to put the church in action, to not just come together and talk about the theory of what it's like to be a Christian and not just spend time in worship. Those things are super important, but to put that faith into action and to have a practical side to our faith. And one of the things we're doing as a part of this is we are also incorporating some time that's very important, and that is we're spending some time in prayer. This past Sunday evening was our first Sunday evening since we started this or made this change that we got together to pray. And frankly speaking, it was kind of a short crowd that showed up. I don't know if some people, when they hear, hey, we're going to get together and pray, if they thought, well, that's a, you know, normally we're used to sort of a 3 to 5 minute thing. And so maybe they thought, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. It may have been just inconvenient or whatever. But at any rate, we had a small group come together. And from my opinion, it was one of the most powerful things we've done in a very long time. We had people that interacted with one another. We shared our fears, our hopes, our wishes, our needs with one another. We talked about our families and things we're concerned about. We talked about things we want God to bless in our lives. We talked about our future. We talked about not just our personal future and our own families, but we also talked about our congregation's future, what it will look like in the future as we transition, you know, into the next 5 years, 10 years, et cetera. And we took time and we prayed for that. And it was something very special. And it's something that is unfortunately very strange or unique. And I shared this on my social media on Facebook. I made a post and I had just a ton of feedback. I had messages. I had people comment saying, wow, that's amazing. And what's so sad about that, and the reason that this has prompted a short article and podcast, is that this is something that the church should always have been doing. It's kind of strange that really the only time we pray as a group is maybe when there's a meal that we're about to ask God's blessing on, which we certainly should do that. You know, all food is profitable if received with thanksgiving, Paul says. And maybe it's an opening prayer or a closing prayer, or maybe a prayer for communion, or maybe a prayer during a lesson. But that's really a lot of times it. There's not this communion. It's something that's being led by one person that in many cases doesn't have any direction or input from the church as a whole. And so this time, this hour we spent together, we didn't sing a song. We didn't have an opening prayer and a closing prayer. We got together and we just started sharing what's going on in our lives. And we did this, and it was a very powerful moment and something we will do again. Now, let me just say, we're restoration people and we believe in doing things in Bible ways. And that's certainly what we're trying to do. And you know, if we're looking at scripture for examples of this type of group prayer, you're going to find just an abundance. There's ample texts there that support this concept. You know, one of the verses that we have heard so many times and I've used and we've heard is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where this infant church is together. They have all things in common. But verse 42 says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and in fellowship, to the breaking of bread and in prayers, and the prayers, as the ESV says. And we see that this early church is gathering daily, and we can just imagine them gathering daily to pray with one another. You know, later on in the book of Acts, we're going to see that the very young church prays for boldness. Remember, the apostles are rebuked and they're threatened. Do not preach the name of Jesus anymore. And what ends up happening is they come together and they pray in Acts 4, 23 and following, that God would give them boldness to continue in their ministry. And so here's the church praying about specific things, praying about the future of the church, praying about how they can be better, how they can be equipped, how they can, you know, fulfill the ministry that they need to do. It's not a simple opening and a closing prayer. Now, you know, James 5 and 16, another one that we're all familiar with there in that context, James asking us and telling us to pray for one another. And he says there to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so group prayer or praying together as a church should not be strange to us. It shouldn't be unique. And yet, unfortunately, I think beyond an opening or a closing prayer, as we've already mentioned, I just think it kind of is. And I don't know how this has happened. It's certainly beyond the scope of my research or this article or this podcast to try and say, hey, this is why this is happening. I have a couple of suspicions. I think one is we have seen a shift in American culture and especially in American church culture to making worship sort of a production. The sermon is rehearsed and prepared. The song service is organized and prepared and presented. And for many people, their view of church service and their view of what worship is going to something that has been orchestrated and produced in some way. And so prayer is a part of that production. Now, I'm not trying to make any kind of judgment on anyone. I'm certainly not doing that. It seems that's what's happened in our culture, where when we look at worship from a biblical perspective, proskuneo, the Greek word that Jesus uses there in John chapter 4, when he says that those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, it's this idea of the individual bowing themselves before God, pros towards, kuneo, to kiss, and literally meaning to pay homage to or to prostrate oneself before. And so worship from a biblical point of view is a participatory thing where all of us engage in that worship. And unfortunately, what's happened is we've sort of created, I think, more of a consumer model where we go to church and we get something out of it, and it's not about what we're putting in. Now, we'll talk more about that in a later podcast and article when I talk about an appeal back for congregational singing. So sort of planting a seed there for that. But let me just talk about it as it pertains to prayer. And I want to talk about specifically this first night we got together, because the first time we did this, it was a bit awkward, just being honest. I mean, when you're not used to something and you do it, it does take a little forcing. It does take a little effort. You know, the old fake it until you make it kind of mindset. And so we did have that awkwardness. I could tell that some in our group were a little uncomfortable opening up. And that's okay. You know, there wasn't any like, hey, you come and tell me five things to pray for. No, it was just more of a conversation. And I think it will get better. And in fact, as we went on throughout the night, as we prepared to pray and as we talked about what we wanted to pray for and made a journal of that, you know, it did get easier. And so as we go through this and as we kind of think about it and talk about it, one of the things that I want to make sure we understand is how important this was, that we are praying together. Because at the end of the night, I heard several people, some of them hugging in tears, responses and interactions with one another that we normally wouldn't get after a standard worship service. A level of emotion was present, a level of connectedness, intertwined would be a good word to talk about what it did. It sort of glued us together. And I think it was very powerful for those reasons. It's a biblical practice. It is a powerful practice, and it is a practice, when not done, I think can be very detrimental to the health of a church. I read a book a couple of years ago from Tom Rainer. It's a little small book, but it's called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. I recommend that book. It's got some very good insight. But Tom took, I believe, and I don't have the book at hand, I think it's 14 churches that had closed their doors. Most of these churches, I'm assuming, were from the evangelical world, and they had closed their doors, and he went and said, hey, I want to go investigate why the church closed. Like, what happened? You know, just like if somebody died, we're going to go examine the cause of death. What was it? A heart attack? Was it poisoning? Was it a stroke? What killed this person? And in the same way, he said, I'm going to do an autopsy on a church that has died. And so he did this with several, I think the number was 14. That number's popping out of my head for some reason, but it was several churches, and he found some commonalities in them. And there, it's a great book, got a lot of good insight into what we don't need to be doing so that we don't end up in that situation, because the church should continue to live and thrive. But one of his points that he made, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, was the church rarely prayed together outside of a corporate setting. And by corporate setting, what I mean is when they're gathered together for the worship hour. And literally, that's what he said. They rarely prayed together. He said that most people had only ever heard a group prayer from their church in a 2 to 3 minute snippet as a part of the worship time. And this became detrimental to the churches. It killed the connectivity between the churches. And so it is very important that we spend time together in prayer. Now, I wanted to share my thoughts on this with you in this podcast and this article, and I hope you'll think about it. I've encouraged church leaders. I've encouraged our elders here, and I've encouraged others when I've talked. We've had some men's prayer breakfasts and things. I shared some of these, and one of these, we had done this some before COVID, and COVID just sort of threw everything out of whack. And for whatever reason, we got out of the habit. We went right back into the old opening prayer, closing prayer, but that's it. And so when the elder said, hey, Sunday nights, let's start doing new stuff, one of the things I said, look, let's incorporate once a month, once every 6 weeks, whatever it is, just a night to get together and pray. And I suspect it will become a more common thing. You know, we're here for one another. Galatians 6 and verse 2 tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As one of our elders said the other night as we began to pray, he said, you know, if we don't know what burdens we're bearing, how in the world can we help each other? The church is so important to our spiritual life. And as we share in our successes and our struggles, as we share in our desires and our needs, we can also collectively tap into not only one another, but into our Father in heaven and ask for not only our needs and our fears to be salved and our hopes to be fulfilled, but we can do that for each other. And there's great collective power in that. Does your church pray together outside of the worship service? When's the last time you gathered with some of your brothers or sisters to do that? If the answer is, I don't know, or I can't remember, I want to encourage you, go to your elders, go to your preacher, go to your church leaders and say, hey, can we get together and pray? And chances are you might from some quarters get sort of a strange look because it's maybe something that none of them have ever done before. But I promise you, it's worth it and it's beneficial. And it will bless your church, and it will help you to set your sights more fully on where we need to be going. Until next time, may our God bless you.